How hungry is your heart for the Word of God? Do you have a hungry heart on an ongoing basis when it comes to God's Word? According to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, all the people of Jerusalem gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of all the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The people, it would seem, had a hungry heart, a heart that was hungry for the Word of God. In fact, they couldn't get enough of God's Word. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 13, it goes on to say that on the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. Then in verse 18 it says that day by day, from the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles to the last day, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. Ezra read, and then read some more, and then read some more. The people listened, and then listened some more, and then listened some more. They came to understand what the Word of God was saying, and they obeyed. The people of Judah and Jerusalem at that time demonstrated a remarkable hunger for the Word of God. They had a heart for the Word. We find other examples in Scripture of men and women who had a heart for the Word of God. The godly man of Psalm 1 is described as having his delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. In Psalm 119 and verse 18, the psalmist prays, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Jeremiah stated in Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." After he finished sharing the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Having ears to hear is indicative of having a heart for the Word. James wanted his readers to have a heart for the Word of God in ever-increasing measure. James knew that God's Word is indispensable in the life of a Christian. As we have seen in our study of the first 18 verses of James chapter 1, James focuses the attention of his readers on trials and temptations. How is it possible for a Christian to be victorious in the trials he encounters and victorious over the temptations he faces on a daily basis apart from God's Word? And the answer is, it simply isn't possible. In our trials and temptations, we need the wisdom, the guidance, the instruction, the comfort, the encouragement, the exhortation, and so on that the Word of God provides. Knowing this to be so, James, having mentioned the Word of God, the Word of truth, in verse 18, goes on in verses 19 through 25 to give some practical realities of what having a heart for the Word of God looks like. And the first of these practical realities is a principled heart. A principled heart. A believer in Jesus Christ who has a heart for the Word of God will have a principled heart. That is to say, he will have a heart that is directed and guided by certain principles in regard to God's Word. And one of these principles is the principle of swiftness. In verse 18, James mentioned the word of truth, the word of God. of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God, the word of truth, to convict a sinner of his need of the Savior. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached to his fellow Jews. In concluding his sermon, Peter said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And what was the response of the people? Well, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter then exhorted them to repent and be saved by trusting in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them did just that. They were brought forth by the word of truth. That is to say, they were born again into the family of God through the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, Peter says to his readers, "You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God." The word of God then has the power to effect and bring about change. As the writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. James then, having brought out in verse 18 the fact that the word of God is living and active and powerful, as evidenced by God using it to bring about the new birth, he goes on to say in verse 19, "So then, or this you need to know, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." The word of God is the word from God. And because it is the word from God, it is well worth your time and mine to hear it. It is well worth our time to expose our hearts and minds to it. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If we truly believe that, then we will have a heart for the word of God. And one of the practical realities of having a heart for the word of God is a principled heart, a heart that is guided by the principle of swiftness, being swift to hear the word of God. At an early age, Samuel demonstrated this principle in his life. According to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." "Let every man be swift to hear. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." As the writer of Psalm 119 prayed, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Mary, the sister of Martha, was swift to hear. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, she is described as sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Like Mary, we need to spend time sitting at the feet of our Lord, listening to his teaching as we read and reflect upon the word. A second principle in this matter of having a principled heart is the principle of slowness. Not only is there the principle of swiftness, but also the principle of slowness. Verse 19, "This you need to know, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders in John chapter 8 and verse 47, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." They had quite a bit to say to Jesus, but they didn't really listen to him. They were swift to speak, but slow to listen, slow to hear. Isn't that often the tendency? It requires discipline and diligence to be an attentive listener. Being swift to hear and slow to speak means we must give our undivided attention to God and His Word. The book of James is all about practical Christianity, as we have noted, putting into practice what we know to be true from the Word of God. If this is to be so in your life and mine, then we need to have a principled heart, a heart that is directed and guided by the principles of swiftness and slowness. Being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Have you ever got angry or upset about something you've read or heard in the Word of God? We can get angry and upset with the Word of God or with the messenger of the Word of God. When we hear what we don't want to hear, when we read what we don't want to read from God's Word. According to Jeremiah 36:1, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So Jeremiah did as he was commanded. He wrote on a scroll all the messages that God had given him, the Word of God. Well, eventually the scroll was read in the presence of the king. And when the king heard what Jeremiah had written, the Word of God, he was not a happy camper. Now, the king heard what he didn't want to hear, and he became angry, he became upset, he was filled with wrath. According to Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 23, as Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot, till the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. When Christians today get angry or upset at what they hear or read from the Word of God, they don't usually cut up their Bibles and burn them, as Jehoiakim the king did. But they may close their Bibles and stop reading the Word of God, or they may read selectively, skipping over or avoiding the portions they don't want to hear. They may also stop going to church or any other place where they might hear the Word of God. Or they may look for teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. In the letter of 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. They will turn away from listening to the truth. They will close their Bibles and put them on a shelf and leave them there. They will stop going to church where the Word of God is taught. Or they will find a church where they can hear what they want to hear, where they can have their ears tickled. What is it James says here? This you need to know, my beloved brethren. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then he goes on to say, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Could it be that one of the reasons some Christians don't experience spiritual growth and maturity is because there is anger in their hearts? They are angry with God and His Word. James says, the wrath of God, the wrath of man, I should say, does not produce the righteousness of God. An angry, bitter Christian will not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God will not be produced in his heart and life. God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" And this is a good question for a Christian to ask when he is angry. When he is angry at God or angry at the Word of God, angry at what he's heard. Do I have a good reason to be angry? Child of God, then, who has a heart for the Word of God, will have a principled heart, a heart that is directed by the principles of swiftness and slowness, being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry in regard to the Word of God. Another practical reality of a Christian who has a heart for the Word of God is a prepared heart. A prepared heart is a heart that is ready to receive the Word of God. So then, a prepared heart is first and foremost a receptive heart, a heart that is receptive to God's Word. In the parable of the sower, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Ground that is infested with thorns and weeds is ground that is not receptive to the seed. The seed that is sown will have difficulty in getting going, and even if the seed sprouts and begins to grow, the weeds will choke it out. The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 24:30, "I passed by the field of a lazy person, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down." It was a mess. All overgrown with thorns, the ground covered with nettles. This can describe the condition of a person's heart in a spiritual sense. The weeds of sin and disobedience can so take over a person's heart, there is very little room for the Word of God to take root and to grow. Knowing this, notice what James says in verse 34. "Therefore, in order for the righteousness of God to be produced in your life through the Word of God as applied by the Spirit of God, in order for the seed to take root and grow and bear fruit, therefore," James says, "lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." James is speaking here of moral and spiritual filth and wickedness, moral and spiritual defilement. Out of the heart, Jesus said, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and so on. These are what defile a person. According to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is desperately wicked above all things, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Knowing this to be so, David in Psalm 139 and verse 23 prays, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When the soil of our hearts begins to grow hard toward the Word of God and weeds take root and begin to grow, the ground must be broken up and the weeds uprooted and cast aside. And this, in essence, is what James is saying in the first part of verse 21. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Like a filthy garment that is taken off and laid aside, so we must remove and lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, all sin, all rebellion, all disobedience that may be there. And we do that through prayer and confession of sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Hebrews 11, the author of Hebrews sets forth numerous examples of Old Testament men and women who lived by faith and walked with God. Then in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. As James says here, we must lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Wickedness that overflows when a heart is not in right relationship with God. We must keep the soil of our hearts prepared and receptive for the seed of the Word of God. Now, a prepared heart is not only a restrained heart. A heart that is restrained by humility. A heart that is not lifted up with pride and arrogance. James goes on in verse 21 to say, "And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness the implanted word. Once the soil of our heart is prepared and receptive, the seed can be implanted. That is, it can be planted in our hearts. But the word of God must be received with meekness. That is humility. The word of God is received with humility when we recognize and acknowledge the word of God for what it is, a word from God. And when we accept the authority of the word of God and submit to its authority, when we put ourselves under its authority. In other words, when we are obedient to it and bring our lives into conformity to it. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, we read of Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh and saying to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Did Pharaoh receive with meekness the word of God that was planted in his heart and mind? Absolutely not. The very opposite was the case. He refused to acknowledge God for who he is and the word of God for what it is. Even we who know the Lord can be defiant when it comes to submitting our lives to God and his word. Instead of receiving with humility the implanted word, there can be resistance and rebellion. Notice the result or outcome of receiving the implanted word with humility here in verse 21. "Which is able to save your souls," James says. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to bring conviction, which leads to salvation. Person coming to know the Lord and being saved from his sins. But also the Spirit of God can and does use the word of God to warn us and also to convict us of sin. As well, he uses the word to keep us from the world and the wicked one. The bottom line being, we profit greatly from receiving with humility the implanted word, the word that is planted in us. What then are some practical realities of what having a heart for the word of God looks like? A principled heart, a prepared heart, and then thirdly, a productive heart. A productive heart is a heart that is not forgetful. Verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." It is not enough to read or hear the word of God and know what you need to do and then not do it. It is not enough to look at your face in a mirror and see what you need to do and then not do it. God's word is like a mirror. It shows us what we need to do. Whether we look in a mirror or whether we look into the word of God, the result is the same if we fail and forget to do what is needful. It'll be a wasted endeavor. It'll be a non-productive experience. And so it was for Johanan and a group of Israelites who survived the invasion of the Babylonian army. They came to Jeremiah wondering what they should do. They said, "Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few as your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go and the thing we should do." So far, so good. Jeremiah then said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I'll pray to the Lord your God according to your request, and whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." Again, so far so good. They not only wanted to know the will of God, but they were prepared to act upon it. They were willing to look into the Word of God and do as the Word of God said. Or so they said. But when they found out that God wanted them to do the very opposite of what they wanted to do, they were hearers but not doers of the Word. They walked away from it and forgot all about it. Isn't that easy to do? We are gung-ho about doing the will of God until we find out what it is. Like looking into a mirror, we see what needs to be done, but we don't follow through and do anything about it. Particularly us men. We go away and forget about what we need to do. Or at least we try to forget. But a productive heart is a heart that is not forgetful. Secondly, a productive heart is a heart that is fruitful. Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, into the word of God, the word that gives liberty, and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And one of the ways in which he will be blessed is that his life will be productive. Productive in terms of fulfilling God's plan and purpose for his life. "I have fought the good fight," Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." This is the testimony of a man whose life was productive. But wasn't Paul a prisoner in Rome when he wrote that? Wasn't his life about to be cut short? True. But Paul had been blessed in what he did. He had accomplished God's will and purpose for his life. Therefore, he could and did say, "I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." A productive heart is a heart that is fruitful. Well, now that we have considered what a heart for the Word looks like, let's ask ourselves, do I have a heart for the Word? Do I have a principled heart? Am I swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath when it comes to God's Word? Do I have a prepared heart? Is my heart receptive? Is it restrained and characterized by humility? Do I have a productive heart? Am I a forgetful or a fruitful hearer of the Word of God? Do I have a heart for the Word? And if not, what do I need to do in order for this to be so? These are things that we need to ponder today and in the days to come.